because I'm going to be a social worker, and I feel like I'm going to be going in a lot of homes, and you see that it's going to be more dangerous when I get out in the field, or can you see where it might be better?
Well, I don't know. It depends on what area you're going to be in.
Working with homeless children, pregnant teenagers.
But what areas? I mean, like, are you going to be in a rural area or a city area?
City area.
Well, I would like to say in a big city like Atlanta, I would find it to be more dangerous. It's just hard to pinpoint and say unless you actually know your families right away. Of course, if you're dealing with crack cocaine mamas and children, you can mark on your shirt endangered species. I mean, you know, when you enter in the home site, because it's not going to be what you think. It's not going to be a normal home site. Basically, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. You take chances when you're going home, always, because you never know who's behind the door or what people are expecting when you come in. Because when I drive up, people start running. When I drive up, they start running. And, you know, they're really afraid of me. And like 9 times out of 10, I don't really get a lot from people, but the biggest thing is you have to gain respect for that family. You have to let them know that you're there to help them and not to hurt them. You're not there to invade in their privacy, but you're there basically to help them and to help their child. Because my main goal, I tell them when I go in, I'm here for the well-being of your child and to help you with your child. I'm not here to take your money, because 9 times out of 10, when a social worker or someone comes to the home, they feel like, well, she's coming to take my check. And a lot of people you're going to deal with probably be on AFDC, and that's welfare, and they feel like you're going to come in and try to take what they have. And they know they're barely making it, but you have to make that communication line. And I always like to call my clients before I go to the home. I just think that's respectful. I don't really necessarily drive at a home and say, you know, I'm here for a visit, an unexpected visit. And that really makes families angry. You should always call before you go into a home.
Do you think that sometimes you feel like you want to just take those kids and raise them yourself, or take the kids?
Yeah.
Not necessarily take them, but because you want to see the kids. I know you as a person want to see kids, but do you feel sometimes you want to take the kids and just have them for yourself? Or?
Yeah, because I've always said, and my husband said, we had a home. We had a lot of money, like football and athletes get, you know, that would be one of the things that we would do. We would like to open a home for neglected kids and abused children, because really it's not enough in the overall United States. They don't have enough home for those type children. And children basically don't have anywhere to go, because once defects pick them up, they have to put them in foster care. And if that foster parent is actually tired of the child moved around about 10 times within 1 year. That's what statistics are showing now. We need more foster care homes, and people are just not taking kids in like they used to.
Okay. How do you feel about the Georgia Lottery paying your salary? Well, first of all, how do you feel about the lottery?
I oppose the lottery. I oppose to the lottery. I don't believe in the lottery. I believe it's gambling, and I feel that we should not gamble with education. Even though I'm paid on that system, because that's the system that they chose to pay my salary from, I am not a person that believes in gambling, basically. Religious reasons and other reasons. I just feel it's not a good posture for the children. And why gamble with education? Education is so important.
I agree. Okay, what change in education do you feel we need in the future?
I feel we need more caregivers. I feel like more counselors need to be in the school system, because kids are coming in now with problems that teachers just cannot manage in the classroom. I've seen kids come in with different problems relating to basically the home site, and they actually need someone to talk to. And the teachers, I'm not saying teachers don't care, but teachers really don't have that time. They need to to talk with the to teach the kids academically. So I feel that more counselors and caregivers are going to be needed in the near future. caring people, because kids are really going through a lot now.
It's true, because I know myself being a single parent, caregiving is very important. Okay, well, what are you doing to see that changes are made, and do you feel you always be in this line of work?
That's a good question, because I really enjoy my job. It's hard for me to say, yeah, this is where I'm going to stay at this level. But I will stay in education. I'm striving to stay in education because I know I can make some changes. I can't see where I'm going to tap in to make that big change at this point. But I know the change is going to come. I'm still studying and working on it and praying about it, of course. I just don't know where the get-go point is. But I am looking forward, and I want to stay in the area of caregiving, but I don't know if I want to stay in the particular area I'm in right now. Because, like I say, I'm paid by a lottery system, and every year it goes against the legislature board. So, and I don't want to have a job where every year I have to wait till the beginning of May to know if I have a job the following year or not. So that's my major downfall about my job at this point.
Something you talk about writing a book. Why would you like to write a book?
I have a lot of things to share. I've done a lot over the course of years. And like I said, one of my main forces is dealing with African-American children and African-American families. I've had two jobs so far in the field of working with parents. I work with the Georgia Peach Program, where I dealt with strictly welfare mothers. Those parents really have low self-esteem. I feel like if somebody could come by and just say, yeah, I love you, or yeah, I care for you, or you can become somebody or be somebody one day, that can make a difference in that person's lifestyle. And I've seen it happen. I've had students from the Peach Program to call me, and I meet them in stores, and they said, thank you, Ms. Lowe, just for sharing time with me, just for being there for me. And I have also taught for the past 5 years at a technical school where I deal basically with parents one-on-one, and I deal with a lot of single parents, and they need that tender love and care as well. Once they get off work, they need somebody to just talk to them, and they need to feel relaxed. And a lot of my evaluations that I received, that's one of the big things that I get a lot of compliments on, that I am caring and I try to be down to earth and I try to talk to each one of them individually, because those people, they have problems as well. I had one parent that lost a son during the time that I taught. He was killed. Her only son, and she was diagnosed with cancer, and I had to provide a special care for that month for that person, and she was able to get through the course because she said, "Well, I feel like you're not just here for the pay and for the money."
Do you think fathers are involved in education?
Not nearly enough. No, they think of the mother part. They think the mother should be involved in the children's education, and not them. But really, they really play a big part in their children's lives, and they can have a big significance in the outcome of their children's education.
Okay, my son, he's not around him, but I have noticed when he has a male teacher, his bonding seems to be special. Have you encountered something like this?
Not really. Well, yeah, with some of the older kids in the school, I find that they do better having a male as a role model, because I think they see themselves, if it's a good role model, they can see themselves in the same occupation as that gentleman in. Because when I try to mix kids up with role models or mentors, I try to say, well, I ask the person, what's your occupation? And I tell you what the occupation, then I tell the kids, well, this is what this gentleman does. who I would like to basically do what this gentleman is doing. And I try to match them up like that, so that way they can see what really, well, maybe he can tell me some, give me some ideas on what I should be doing and should not doing. But I feel that role modeling is a big issue in school today, and I think it's well needed.
Okay. You could, that if they was, should there be a lot of males as far as Head Start or kindergarten, you know, because of the lot of fathers not in the home, do you feel, because my son, first teacher was a male in kindergarten, and I think this has helped him in ways. Do you feel that a lot of male teachers should be involved in early education?
Yes, I feel like they are needed in early education, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But what kind of discipline are there in the school?
Well, in the real school that I'm in, they can still paddle. They can use corporal punishment at any time. Although I don't agree with having someone that's use corporal punishment on my child. I feel like that's a family issue. I believe in corporal punishment, but I don't believe somebody else should use it on my child, especially in the school sector. But it is well known in the county that I work in.
But would you say that's child abuse, like when someone else other than the parent is whooped, is telling the child? Or do you feel like the law is child abuse? Or
no, I don't feel it's child abuse. If that person gives, if the parent gives another person the right to paddle, and the principal, she asked me in the school, can I paddle your child? And their parents said, yes, no, it's not child abuse. But that still doesn't make it right. Because some parents, I had one parent tell me, I'm just tired. Just let them go ahead and paddle my child. Or stick them in special ed, because I don't have time to come over there dealing with my child behavior problem. And I think it's a cock out, because they don't want to deal with their own child. But no, I don't think it's a form of child abuse, as long as that parent has given permission, as long as that teacher does it in respect.
Okay. Do you think the parents effectively communicate with their children?
No. I find it to be a big problem. In homes, they'll call me and say, Miss Lowe, I can do a thing with my child. And at 4 years old, I think that's something bad for a parent to call and tell me you can do a thing with their child.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask them, well, when is the last time you sat down with your child and actually talked to your child? Just one-on-one or in a family setting. And I said, ooh, shoot. And I said, we're not trying to be, until I sit down, until I try to talk to him. So he looked at me, I looked back at him, and I just feel like they don't have the effective skills they need to talk one-on-one. And another big issue is television, which is something that I find to be a big hindrance in family communication. A lot of times, parents let the TV be the babysitter. And truly, it's not the babysitter. Kids learn so much through television. I know an incident I had at the school I work at. I had to take two students to the office, and they were using some sexual acts. And the principal asked the question, well, where did you learn that? One kid said, well, I saw my mom and daddy. And another kid, 4 years old now, another one said, I saw it on television. My mama had cut the television off, and I woke up through the night, and I went and pushed the playback, and he said they were just humping on each other. And that's why I said, you know, television is a big, it can be a helpful tool, but then again, because of the shows that I look at on there, I find it to be poisonous to a lot of children. I find it to be a big hindrance to family communication. It needs to be supervised. When I keep my nephews, I definitely supervise the television. I remember in one incident, my nephew was in here looking at television, and he said, "Hey, Jackie, why do you carry butts on their head?" You know, and I had fallen off to sleep. And I said, what, you know, I didn't know, because I'm not a television watcher. And I said, from then on, I will know what kids watching in my home. We'll know, because most times the TV run. So it'll be on. But I never paid attention to what was on that particular night. But that woke me up to let me know, Jackie, you must supervise things when television shows, especially when children are in the home.
Do you feel that's why grades are low with some kids because of the television?
Oh, yeah. MTV is a fool. It's a buster. Yep. I feel, and April the 24th through the 29th is TV shutoff week, and I was going to go to different churches and do programs concerning television problems. The secret would parents commit to turning the TV off maybe 2 hours a day or maybe a whole day and just see how it would increase the communication flow. But I don't know. I haven't decided if I'm going to do that or not. Because a lot of parents, I don't know, I just feel that I would get looked at in a strange way, like, are you crazy? That's the only babysitter I have. You're not going to take that away. But I just want to show them how communication could increase if they would just turn off the TV and just have a family conversation. And that's what's missing in the home. But I remember when I was growing up, you know, my daddy sat at the table with us and ate with us. And that way I felt like we had room to communicate with each other. My mom would sit, you know, a chair distance away, but she was always listening in on what we had to say. And we always felt it was four of us. We always felt we had someone to talk to. And I see parents now when I go in home, get up here, you see me cooking, sit down over there on that floor and eat. I mean, it's no family gathering, no family sitting, but we were always asked to sit at the table. We couldn't sit on the floor, sit in the living room. During our early years of growing up, we always had to sit at the table. And us four would talk if my mom, you know, didn't. But every time my dad come in town, he would always sit at the table. We had special seats at our eating table, and I thought that was something special, which I don't see now in homes. Kids just push to the side, and a lot of times they have a lot to tell you, and it's at the dinner table.
Okay, you talked about the, because they said babysitting, well, for parents that work, do you feel that there are enough daycare centers provided?
No, not in the county where I work. It's only one daycare center. Most time you find caretakers in the projects. They're welfare mamas that really don't work, and they take care of other people's children. I don't always find this to be an effective way of someone taking care of children, because 9 times out of 10, those parents don't get up to 12 o'clock, and they leave the children up running around. And like I said, television again, it's put a picture on television and to tell the kids to sit there until they feel like getting up. And I don't find it to be very effective.
Okay. What kind of recreational activities do they provide?
At this point, we don't have any recreational activities. We're looking at getting a grant, and I'm working on this committee, the subcommittee, about getting a grant, because a lot of parents have came to me and voiced their opinion about having some recreational activities during the summer. The thing is, they need space and buildings. But at this present moment, the kids during the summer, they just really make up their own games. They don't really have anywhere to play or park to go to, which I think is just, I don't know, I think it's awful. I really do. It touches my heart so much when I see a lot of things go on. And I feel like, as a child, now looking back, I took for granted some of the things that I had. And looking at these children, they just want a little bit of what I had. But, you know, at this point, we don't have any recreational activities.
Well, how do you interact with children?
Well, really, I have a big job because I care for the whole entire family, not for just pre-K. I interact with the entire family, brothers and sisters, and not just four-year-olds. So I get an overall view and interaction with the whole entire family.
This is Sherry Angela Dallas interviewing my sister Jacqueline Lowe. Thank you and commending her on a job well done. I would like to say, I know it was God that placed you in the position that you're in, and He will take you even higher in whatever you choose to accomplish. I believe the school system you're in will grow, and the technology will expand, and the student motivation will reach the height.
although it would take time and hard work, patience, and understanding, but I believe with the given help it will succeed. I'm glad that you will stay in education, and you're right, a change will come, even though I'm very interested in reading your book. Thanks again.